welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Hawaii's Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. And before Tom and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Hawaii's head coach, Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, first, congratulations, you know, city championship and the CMAC championship wrapped up in one night last Friday night.
Well, thanks. We still have to win this Friday
to win it outright is true.
But I think, you know, we played well. That was a physical game, and, you know, Jeff City was a good football team, and I'm just very proud of the kids and, you know, the coaches and everyone's efforts to check off that first goal. You know, yep. The city championship is always the first goal. You know, you got to get that first, and that requires beating Capital City and beating Jeff City, two really good programs who've won a lot of football games this year, and we were able to come out on top and happy with that. But there's bigger goals ahead of us now, too.
You know, how important is it to finish the CMAC season undefeated? You're playing tonight at Smith Cotton, incidentally.
Yeah. It's extremely important. I mean, if you look back at the four-year history of the CMAC conference, we've only lost one game, and that was last year to Rock Bridge. To finish off this year, undefeated conference champs, would be a great goal for this team. It's one of our stated goals early in the year, every year. And anytime you accomplish something, you work hard to accomplish something, you know, that's something to be proud of.
You know, looking at tonight, you know, the Tigers, they are 1-6, but they have shown the ability to put points on the board at times this year.
Yeah, they have. I still think, you know, the second year for Coach Gray, you see growth, but you also see some of those issues that happen with young programs. And you can see that he's playing a lot of young players. I think it's a good 3-4 defensive scheme that he employs. He's a longtime defensive coordinator. I think they play solid defense. Their kids are aggressive. They tackle well offensively. They got some playmakers. Number 8, the running back, is as good as we've seen in a while. He's a very talented runner and a quarterback that, you know, is truly dual threat. They're not really a zone read team. They're more of a gap scheme team. But, you know, what they do very well.
Yeah, looking at the quarterback and their stats, it looks like they're almost 50-50 run pass.
They're very balanced. Unlike some of the teams we played the last few weeks, yeah, who were more slanted to one or the other, it really makes you keep your defense on his toes, reading his keys, understanding down and distance and, you know, situational football, what are they most likely to do based on down and distance and formations and those things. I know Coach Pitts and his defensive staff have stressed all week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was a lie, I said Coach Chris Henches. So, Tom, the Crusaders moved to 6-1 overall and 5-0 in the CMAC with that big win against Jeff City last week, 24-6. What was kind of your biggest impression coming out of that game?
They played pretty well, you know, and Jeff City is obviously a quality team, and the defense, obviously, again, for, you know, another week, played very, very well.
Yeah.
And the offense got enough going to win, and I think right now, with the way the situation is, that's kind of what they're looking for.
Okay.
You know, it's find our points where we can and then let the defense just do the rest.
That was my next question for you. Were there more points out there that maybe they left on the field, or was that kind of they got maybe what they should have gotten?
There were probably a couple of touchdowns out there they might have been able to get. But, you know, looking back, it doesn't matter. It was still an 18-point win.
Sure.
And so, and they're happy with it. You know, they were as happy as I've seen them after a game this year, you know, on the field, the players and the coaches, because, you know, that wrapped up a really tough 4-week stretch for them, you know, at Ritter, you know, at Rock Bridge, and then coming back to playing the two city games against Capital City and Jeff City. They were happy to get through that and you know, happy that again they won the city championship.
I was going to say that's 4 times and 4 tries for them for this far the city championship goes, and I don't think that can be kind of understated. You know, it's something that we were all excited about when we first heard about the conference forming, and we kind of thought, okay, these will be some games that have some intrigue, and they've run the table now on those.
Yeah, it's every year when I talk to Chris for the season preview, it's, you know, goal number one is win the city championship again, because they don't want to lose to Capital City and Jeff City.
Right.
And it's understandable. I mean, they are in town rivals.
Right.
And you know, that is goal one, and they've now checked that off the list. And tonight, I mean, we'll get to this, but tonight they can check off goal number two.
Yeah, I was going to say, you stole my transition, which is fine.
Thanks.
Great minds think alike. They are now 5-0 in the CMAC. The only thing that standing between them and running the table in the CMAC is tonight's game at Sedalia Smith Cotton.
Yeah, you know, the Hawks won the conference the first 2 years, undefeated in both years. Then last year lost to Rockbridge, and Rockbridge ended up winning the championship. They wanted that championship back. That's goal two. You know, as of right now, I mean, yes, they've won the champion. They've won the CMAC, but they want to be undefeated CMAC
sure.
champs again.
Right, right.
You know, that would get them to what, 23? You know, they're currently 22-1 all time in CMAC games.
Right.
They want to get to 23-1.
Yeah.
Because that Rockbridge game really left a bitter taste in their mouth last year. Thought that they let that one get away. And, you know, again, winning conferences is big for them. They went a long time without being in a conference. It's a chance, you know, to get to win it, a goal to achieve, something to strive for, something
sure.
to keep your attention going. And I think that may be the key tonight, keeping their attention going, because, again, it has been, Chris said, a stressful 4 weeks.
Right.
They still have something to play for tonight and really next week, which we'll get to. But tonight, they want to win this game and win it handily.
Right. And I think it's one of those things where you look at it and go, yes, that's kind of like when this schedule came out, you go, yeah, if they're in that position at that one, then this will be, you know, that'll just put the capper on it. Easier said than done from the standpoint of, I think this is not your father's Sedalia Smith Cotton. The last couple of years, they've really struggled. This team, I think, even though they are only 1-6 overall and 1-4 in the CMAC, they've been in a lot more games, and it's a better Smith Cotton team than it has been recently.
I think it is. You know, you look at the Rockbridge game, I think they lost 66-0. Throw that one out.
Right.
You know, they beat Hickman this year for their conference win, scored more than 50 points in that game, which shows you that they can score.
Right.
You know, last year they scored, I think it was 21 on Helias, you know, here at Ray Hinch Stadium, and they Helias hasn't forgotten that. Go, look, this is a team that can score. We need to be ready to play four full quarters against them.
Right. And even to that point, I mean, yes, last week they did get handled, you know, at Capital City, but, you know, put up 21 against a team that had been playing very well and then gave, you know, Helias a real solid game. So, you know, yes, they lost that 148-21, but they were able to put up some points and kind of were in that game for a little bit. So it's you know, it's not just one of those things where you can just go come in and go, this is going to be a walkover.
Yeah, that's one thing Chris talked about, that, you know, you watch them on film, they play hard for four full quarters. It doesn't matter who they're playing.
Right.
You know, they can be down, which they have been at times, you know, in the third and fourth quarters, but they keep battling. And he says, it's going to be important for us to match their intensity for the whole 48 minutes.
Yeah. Is there anything that they do in particular on on either side of the ball that might be a cause for concern for Elias?
You know, the last 2 weeks it's been, you know, a predominant run offense against their defense.
Right.
Yeah, and yes, Capital City and Jeff City both threw the ball more than normal, but, you know, you had to prep for a run-heavy game coming at you.
Right.
Tonight it's back to like a spread, almost, you look at it, it's almost split down the middle 50-50 run pass. He said, we're back to, you know, okay, trying to figure out down and distance what they're going to do if it's third and eight or what they're going to do when it's third and two. And he said, you know, the quarterback, Bo Gray, who's the son of the head coach, he's pretty good. You know, he completes a lot. He completes, I don't know, somewhere around 60% of his passes this year. They've thrown for almost 1,800 yards.
Okay.
And they've got a good running back, Mylon Hawkins. And he, you know, he's only run for like 500, but he's also caught 40 passes. So, I mean, those two guys are really, you're going to have to key on those two tonight.
Yeah. But, we touched on it a little bit in terms of, you know, last week, you know, holding the Jays to six. This is yet another one of those in a string of really impressive performances for the defense. So I think the defense is probably ready for anybody that's going to get thrown at them tonight. But, I guess speak a little bit on how good they have been from the standpoint of they've just been shutting people down. And, I mean, you know, the biggest number was that 30 to Ritter. But other than that, you throw that game out, 17's the most they've allowed in any game this year.
Yeah, and the Ritter game, one of those 30 points or six of those points came on a kickoff return. So the first unit defense and the defense overall has played very, very well. They take a lot of pride in that. You know, Coach Phil Pitts, the defensive coordinator, really does a great job of getting them ready, getting them schemed, getting them ready to go every week for what they're going to face. Because, I mean, they knew the last 2 weeks that they were both going to, you know, Cap City and Jesse were both going to throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They knew it. So it's not like they were going to fool them by all of a sudden chucking it all over the place. And you know, they're ready for that. They're smart, and you know, the coaches are smart. They're getting back to a traditional kind of, it's called a traditional type offense against, but it is. It's what you see a lot in high schools now. So now it's just a matter of going back to your basics, making sure you're following your keys and what you're trying to do.
So the past couple of weeks we've talked a lot about, you know, the change of quarterback for the Crusaders and how that's kind of affected the offense. Last week was just yet another, you know, another four quarters that you get underneath her. So how, you know, how's the offense looking at this point in the season as we're kind of nearing the postseason time?
That's the key. You know, they scored 24 points, which some people may view as disappointing, but it's enough to win. You know, they right now, I think right now, you know, Weaver develops, what they're trying to do is just get him comfortable playing varsity quarterback.
Sure.
You know, he's a sophomore kid.
Right.
You know, and he just kind of got thrown into it. And I think that they're just looking for progress every week. You know, I think they saw a little bit more against Jeff City. Now, there are things, you know, that they want him to improve on and that he can improve on. But you see his athletic ability in games, and you know, you realize he's got it in him. It's just a matter of getting that experience they need, which they're going to need as the competition is going to get tougher as we get closer to, as we get into the postseason.
So is there a, you know, I don't know, maybe an opportunity for someone else to step up to maybe take some of that pressure off him, or is it just going to have to be, he's just going to have to keep improving in order for them to kind of be as dangerous maybe as they want to be come postseason time?
One thing they want to do is run the ball, I don't want to say, I don't know, more, better, something like that. More better would be, yeah.
That's good English.
Yeah, more, better, or more better. And there was a comma in that first one. It's, you know, that's one, that would take some of the pressure off.
Sure.
But right now, you know, they're just having problems. I mean, consistently running the ball is not something they've been able to do a lot this year. I mean, they've done it at times, but they would just like to be able to do it more and more. Get to where you can piece together 8, 10, 12 play drives and just take time off the clock, get touchdowns, and then set your defense up to do what it does.
Right.
And they're gonna get there. You know, the line's getting a little, the line's good. You know, it's just a question of figuring a few things out up front and in the backfield. And I think they'll find that key, if not this week, next week.
You kind of mentioned a little bit in passing earlier, but yeah, it's Smith Cotton tonight, and then it's Vianney next week, and then we're done with the regular season. It's kind of amazing to think that we're kind of already there. I mean, yes, in some ways it seems long at times, and then sometimes it seems very quick. But we're almost to the point where, you know, it's going to be, you know, winter go home time here pretty shortly.
Yeah, and one thing I want to note for everybody that's traveling to Vianney next Friday, that is a 6 o'clock kickoff, not 7.
Okay,
so. Just right now, get, you know, you're going to leave a little earlier than you might, than you maybe
right.
thought to get up there. But again, 6, not 7.
Sure. So I mean, it's I guess one of those things where you feel. I just ask you, on a scale of, you know, 0 to 100, what percent do you think that they're at in terms of max efficiency, or where they would like to be with only 2 more games left in the regular season?
Well, 90.
Okay.
I think you know they know they can get better in certain areas. That may be a little high, but. You know, how can you say that they're not, you know, they're not playing that well when they're 6-1 and their one loss is a 1-point loss to the number one ranked team in their class? So, yeah, they're playing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, tonight they want to wrap up the CMAC undefeated season. Next week at Vianney, it's a chance to, you know, finish 8-1. They're still the number one seed in the district tournament.
Right.
Is still out there hanging for them. They're,
sure.
they're the number one seed right now by like 2.5, 3 points. You don't want to slip up now. Now, I don't know that that would happen against Sedalia or against Smith Cotton or Vianney, but
right.
you don't want to slip up. You don't want to have any bad performances, because if you get, you know, if you win the district, you're going to get a bye that first week and guarantee that you're going to, you know, if you win, you're going to be home at least twice in the districts.
Right.
So there's a lot to play for yet, and they need to be focused on that.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, that
Thanks.
Yes, the district standings are, you know, it is, they do have kind of a, what you might call a comfortable, you know, distance between them and Camden, but it is just literally the two of those, the top where, it, you know, that's the person you need to, or that's the team you need to stay clear of, because there's a huge separation between 2 and 3 from Camden and the Cap Cities, almost like 11 points. So
yeah.
It's those two battling for the
Yeah, and one thing you want to watch tonight, Camerton plays at Lebanon, and Lebanon's undefeated. And it's, I think it's ranked number 4 in Class 5. You know, that'll be a key because Campton will get strength of schedule points, I think, from Lebanon, win or lose. And if they would happen to win that game, that may be a points boost that they might want to keep their eye on.
All right, I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And I'll just ask you flat out, who wins tonight at Sedalia Smith-Cotton?
All right, first we're going to break a little news.
Okay.
Found out right before the podcast that Helias has filled week 4 on their schedule the next 2 years.
Okay.
Cardinal Ritter was there the last 2 years. That contract was never going to be renewed.
Okay.
So they found a spot. Helias will now be playing West Plains in that spot the next 2 years. They will be going to West Plains next year. The Zizzers will be coming here in 2025.
Okay.
West Plains is there's a new conference starting up in Southwest Missouri, the Ozark Mountain Conference. They are one of the, I think, 6 members of the conference right now of similar size schools. They had openings in their schedule. Helias was going to be open in week 4. That was a corresponding week for West Plains, so they agreed basically on Thursday that they are going to play.
Okay.
Yikes. and some of you might remember, Helias and West Plains played a really good game back in 2020 in the, I guess it would have been the quarterfinals over at Rangers. Helias won 36-30 and just one of the crazy finishes that was in that postseason run. So, you know, West Plains is a quality program, has been for the last few years. And I think it should be a really good game for them. You know, they thought about maybe being open that week, you know, because they were only hearing from schools like, you know, upper level private schools in the St. Louis area, and that was nothing they wanted to get involved with. That's kind of one of the reasons why they're out of the Ritter thing. And so, you know, this opening showed up and they kind of jumped on it when they saw it. Okay. So anyway, now we'll get back to the prediction thing.
Okay.
You know, Smith-Cotton scored 21 points on them last year.
Yep.
Here in town. And Helias remembers that. You know, they know that they can score. So they want to really clamp down on defense tonight. And I think they're going to get it done.
Okay.
I think I'm going to take Helias 34-7.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Tom Rackers on Twitter at TJRackers. Thanks for listening.